Talks, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Ukraine has launched what appears to be its biggest drone attack on Russia in 3 years. The Russian military says it shot down 337 drones over 10 regions of Russia. One person was killed. The attack comes as top U.S. and Ukrainian officials are set to meet in Saudi Arabia today.
The two nations will work on negotiations to end the war with Russia.
This is not a conflict that can end by military means. It can only end by diplomatic means. And the president's goal is to bring them both to the table to get this resolved.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the U.S. wants to hear what concessions Ukraine is willing to make.
You're not going to get a ceasefire and an end to this war unless both sides make concessions.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
A federal judge has ordered DOGE to release records concerning its operations. The Trump administration had argued the job-cutting department is an arm of the executive office and not subject to the Freedom of Information Act. Asian markets tumbled overnight after yesterday's sell-off on Wall Street. Here's CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
With on-again, off-again tariffs, a slowdown in consumer, business, and government spending, and the idea that the president did not rule out a recession when asked point blank, there are fears that the U.S. economy could be facing its first recession since 2020.
Futures are higher this morning. CBS's Nicole Killian reports the House may vote today on a spending bill to avert a government shutdown.
Speaker Johnson has made clear that he thinks he has the votes to get it through, which is this year-long continuing resolution. But this time around, he's unlikely to get much support from Democrats in the House. And it's unclear, even if it clears the House, if Senate Democrats are going to put up the votes necessary to get this over the finish line.
The deadline for a deal is Friday night. A federal judge has ordered Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil not be deported.
Free Mahmoud Khalil!
Free Mahmoud Khalil!
Khalil led the protests at Columbia University before ICE arrested him Saturday. Here's protester Priya Patel.
Just because this person was organizing in support of Palestine, I think it's just like a gross, blatant display of just extrajudicial presidential power.
President Trump is warning Khalil's arrest and possible deportation is the first of many to come. New Los Angeles County DA Nathan Hochman says he does not support the resentencing of the Menendez brothers. He says they've lied about why they killed their parents in 1989.
Completely accepting responsibility for their actions. This is where the Menendezes fall short.
The brothers are serving life terms without the possibility of parole. Their resentencing hearing is scheduled for later this month. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about going fast. Don't blink, you might miss it. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
The Packers active in free agency. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers will have a new look to their offensive line. They signed 49ers left guard Aaron Banks to a four-year deal worth $77 million. Elgton Jenkins will move over to center. On defense, the Packers adding another former Raider cornerback, Nate Hobbs, who receives a four-year contract worth $48 million, $16 million guaranteed. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Pacers tonight in Indianapolis. Baseball, Brewers with a 7-5 win over the Mariners. Christian Yelich with a home run says besides William Contreras, the crew still has a solid lineup.
Yeah, I mean, we have some talented players for sure. I think Mitchell has a shot to be a really good player. Terang, Sneaky, Sal, you know, Joey Ortiz. We got some athletic guys that can do a lot of different things on the baseball field. Underrated, overrated. We've had a lot of guys step up and young players come into their own and just find a way. So we'll see if we can do it again this year.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I was very excited to see Bong Joon-ho's new film, Mickey 17. After big wins on Oscar night 5 years ago, which saw him bring home the Best Director and Best Picture Oscar for Parasite, Joon-ho took a big swing with a big budget on Mickey 17. The film stars Robert Pattinson as Mickey, who is on his 17th life, who tries to figure out if creatures on an ice-covered planet are friends or foes. He uses an annoying voice the entire film, but the film does have a nice message. Ultimately, Mickey 17 was pretty tough to get through. James Bond passed away in 2021 in the film No Time to Die. But did you honestly think that would stop studios Studios from making more Bond movies? Despite speculation that there would be a female Bond, multiple sources report that it is not happening and 007 will stay male and British. The search continues for who will play 007. Personally, I think it might be time for a chubby Bond who has halitosis and can't get girls. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be quite a bit colder today, mostly sunny with a high of only 45 this afternoon. Wind will be north at 5 to 15. 27 tonight, tomorrow sunshine. We bounce back to 53 by Thursday. Partly cloudy, 60 by Friday. We're talking highs in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on the tariff roller coaster farmers are stuck on. They're on, they're off, they're on again. What kind of trade policy is this?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who likes piña coladas, but hates getting caught in the rain, Peach Wabba.
It is so much fun tonight talking about sack lunches. Even the phrase sack lunch cracks me up. Probably because I'm very immature, but Brian from Milwaukee says turkey stuffing, meatloaf, and sweet potato fries, green beans, and cranberry sauce. That's a great one. That's like Ross Geller's sandwich on Friends, the favorite sandwich. Annie from Watertown says tuna salad sandwich and Cheetos became this great lunch. Sixth grade field trip, eating mom's brown bag lunch, sitting in the bus in the rain outside the Chicago Science and Industry Museum, 1968 or 1969. Still a favorite weird drug of food, despite the paths my diet has gone since. It's interesting. Food truly is medicine. You're absolutely right, Annie. That's a great text. And Steve from Florida says, great lunch sandwich is liverwurst and sliced onion. Finish it up with a Little Debbie brownie. Mm. Mm. I don't know about that, man.
I love Little Debbies.
You love onions.
Yeah.
You put onions on anything. But all right, Steve, I'd probably start with a Little Debbie brownie and finish with it as well if liverwurst is in, yeah, is in my lunch. We'll get to the rest of your texts as the show goes on. Please join us. We have the question tonight in honor of National Pack Your Lunch Day is, what is in your sack lunch? My guest right now is Dan Davies. He is a local filmmaker and actor who's doing some really cool things. Very busy guy, taking time out here to be in the studio with me tonight. We'll get to some more of Dan's projects in a minute, but I guess we have a phone call, Conrad. For Dan.
Yes.
All right. Dan's getting all his calls here.
Wow. So do I owe you money?
Yeah. Just a dime, though. We're going old school. This is, who is this, Conrad?
Susan from McFarland.
Susan from McFarland. How are you, Susan?
I'm good, thank you. I was calling because you piqued my interest because there's nothing musical about Ed Gein. So I was just trying to figure out how one makes a musical.
Well, this
to
is...
to take away the sting from Ed Gein's behavior. I guess that's my word, my thought.
It's a great question.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, by the way, Susan. I'm from Waupaca, about 15 minutes from Plainfield. My grandfather worked for the Washer County DNR. His best friend was the arresting sheriff who arrested Ed Gein. He actually knew who Ed Gein was. When I did the film in 2010, I interviewed a number of people from Plainfield. I also did about 3 years worth of research to find out who Ed was from when he was at Wausau, it was called the Hospital for the Criminally Insane, or Mendota, and had all the psychiatrists and psychologists in the books from Robert Gallmer, and literally learned as much as I could about him. My film is a psychological treatise on why he became who he became. His dad physically abused him, and his mom, they say, sexually abused him. So this was a recipe for disaster. And there is gallows humor throughout the film, as well as in the theatrical play, but it's done with respect. I don't glorify Ed. I don't glorify his actions. I don't demean the victims. and I don't minimize what he did. Okay. And it's, but there's some funny stuff and there's great music in it. But just like Sweeney Todd is, how could you make a, you know, play about a guy who is a cannibal and serving, you know, a lunch counter meats with a human in it. You know, so it's, again, it's funny and it's, you walk away with, hopefully you walk away with
an appetite.
Yeah. I just think it's not because I wrote it and then I'm in it. It's just, I think it's an amazing stage play. And I think it's funny and it's lighthearted, but it's also psychologically, you know, meaningful as well.
Susan, thank you so much. I hope Dan answered your question there.
Yeah, he did. I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, I might watch it.
Thank you, Susan. It's on Tubi right now. It's on.
Okay, thank you so much. You
have a great night. Drive carefully, Susan. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
So how did you get started in we have one more. I don't want to miss we've got two more comments for you, actually. Dan, you got all your fans turning out here tonight. Daniel from Menasha says, was it difficult to make a tongue, kind of the same question, similar question, was it difficult to make a tongue-in-cheek version of Ed Gein's story, if you want to give a condensed version of what we just said to Susan?
And again, you know, it, first of all, thank you, Daniel, for that great question. It's not really tongue-in-cheek. It's you know, the interrogation, I actually use a lot of the actual words and the things and the questions that the sheriff was asking during the interrogation. And I did as much research to make it as correct as possible. Michael Blake, the guy who wrote the Academy Award winner, Dances with Wolves, had seen our film. He said it's the best film ever on Ed Gein. Now he's passed, you know, he's in heaven right now, but that was the biggest thing. So it's, I think it's a really cool film.
That's awesome. We've got one more for you, Dan. Don't go anywhere. You're not leaving yet, are you?
No.
Okay.
Hell no.
Ezekiel on the watching on Facebook says, how about some chili made with TLC? Maybe that wasn't directed to you. Maybe our sack lunch.
So that's an inside joke, actually. Ezekiel's playing Ed Gein. So and the TLC is, you'll have to see the world premiere of the theatrical play April 4th.
That's great incentive. Thank you, Ezekiel, for watching on the stream. And we have another phone call, but this is for our question of the night.
Yep.
This is Ollie from the North Woods who wanted to. Hey, Ollie.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. Our old school lunch used to be Mom would pack a tuna sandwich and an orange. And to this day, every time I smell an orange, I go right back to tuna sandwiches at pack lunch in school.
It's like a...
And another thing that we used to get was every time we went traveling, which we did a lot, Mom always packed a picnic lunch. We never stopped at restaurants, rarely.
Yeah.
And it would always be a warm ham sandwich with mayo and a boiled egg.
Whoa. I liked what you offered with the soup question better, Ollie, last week. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, good enough.
I don't know about that ham and egg, but hey, thanks so much for calling in, Ollie.
Alrighty.
Thanks for listening. All right. Dan, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but look at the size of my head compared to yours on the stream.
Well, no,
I feel like my head needs to be in a museum.
Well, you have a ginormous head. And
you're not the first guest that has said that to me, by the way.
But my grandma said, big head, big wit, little head, not a bit.
Oh, you're a witty guy. I wouldn't say you have a small head. Let's not.
No, 25-inch circumference.
You've measured your head?
Yeah. Wow. Because somebody said I could be at the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey with a circus freak like head. When I was a kid, they said, can we show movies on your head? And I'm like, what?
Oh my God. You
know, yeah. It's, so I know what that's like. I got a size 8 hat. You know?
I don't even know what my. I should run over
you
to
got
the
a
haberdasher.
Size 15. You got
15.
A size 15.
I don't even know what I could
do. Well,
the
average is probably 7.
Is there a way I can make money off the size of my head?
Well, yeah. Put advertising right up there.
Jeremy Gooden.
Yeah, it's right there.
All right. So answer this. How did you get started? Like, are there training places? Like, let's say someone from Northeast Wisconsin comes to you and says, hey, I want to do what you do. How do I get started?
Yeah, I tell them, you know, always go online. You know, there are great videos on YouTube that can give you some really good, solid acting advice. You know, get the professional headshots. Try to do as much film as you can for gratis, for free. A lot of times you'll get gas, and, you know, in Wisconsin, it's beer and pizza or whatever.
Right.
Do as many of those things as possible. Do as much local theater as possible. If you have the money, go find somebody, Green Bay, Milwaukee, or Madison, that's an acting coach. Take a few classes. There's a lot of stuff online, and just have fun with it. It's tough to do it in Wisconsin. You need to also be able to travel, and that's, right, you know, the biggest thing. But I always say, just enjoy yourself with it, and, you know, take whatever is given you in the Midwest. So even if you have to be a PA, learn what it's like to be a PA, and then watch the director and watch the actors. And you might find out, and this happens once in a while, you go, well, I don't even want to be an actor anymore. I want to be a lighting technician or a director or the sound guy. That sounds really cool. Or the post-production guy, you know, doing editing. So, but yeah, do as many things for free as possible.
And people that do those things, those are good livings too.
If that's
you
the thing.
Get like in the union or whatever and work a lot.
Oh yeah.
And I also think people like nowadays, maybe since COVID, how audition tapes, like sometimes my agent will contact me. I'll do a file on my phone, and that's acceptable. Whereas 10, 20 years ago, you had to drive to Milwaukee or drive to Chicago. Then living in here was much more difficult, would you say?
Yeah, and that's the nice thing about it, you know, to be able to do the auditions just, you know, online. And if you have a halfway decent phone or even your laptop, you'd be able to do it and send it out. And and you're up against many other people. And like I was saying earlier, a lot of times people see something that I'm in Netflix or Hulu or PBS and go, we like you, we want you to play this. Or can you play a Russian? Can you play this? And I always tell them, yes, I can, even if I can't.
And you learn. And you Google something else and try to sound like Igor Stravinsky. All right. We got about a minute and a half left, Dan. Cool. Who are your acting influences, like who as a kid or even as a young adult could you not turn off when you watch them on TV or in the movies?
You know, the first real actor that I always thought, the first natural actor, everybody says it was Marlon Brando, it was actually Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy Stewart was the first natural actor. Prior to him, they'd be like, hey there, Bobby, come on over to the soup kitchen.
They were doing characters.
They were doing characters. Yeah. You know, where Jimmy Stewart's like, well, you know what you are, Mr. Potter? You're nothing but a scurvy little spider. The people here live in this community.
Right.
Is it too much to ask that they live in a nice home? You know, he was real. And he's my hero. And Humphrey Bogart as well.
What did you think about a favorite Humphrey Bogart movie?
Casablanca is my
favorite. Rick Blaine.
Yep.
All I want to do when I see that movie is hang out at Rick's American Cafe. Such a great joint,
isn't
man.
It?
Yeah.
But that movie is just magic to me.
What did you think about Gene Hackman as an actor? Were you a fan?
Oh, I loved him. Yeah. Again, every man. He played Gene Hackman.
Right.
You know, I mean, but he played it well. And he never made a bad movie.
Boy, that's a great point.
There
are some actors who are so great, even a bad script can't make. You know, they can help. I don't know. He's great. Tom Cruise, I think, is another one who does not, whether you like Tom Cruise or not personally, because I went through a phase where I was like, and then he's jumping on Oprah's couch. I'm like, whoa, what a weirdo. He's got the Scientology thing always in the forefront. But the guy doesn't make a clunker.
He doesn't make a clunker. People that work with him love him.
Yeah, right. That too.
Yep. They love him.
Dan, this was fun. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Pete.
Come back soon. Crush it at the Green Bay Film Festival.
This Friday, and then the world premiere Ed Gein musical, April 4th.
Outstanding.
Thank you,
Dan Davies. Go see him this Friday, Green Bay Film Festival. We're coming back with some fantasy baseball talk. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max makes the three, takes the three, left side, yes, sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 months after peaceful voting rights marchers were viciously attacked in Selma, Alabama, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed by President Lyndon Johnson. Anti-voter legislatures are now challenging the VRA's protections, even though that discrimination continues. The VRA was intended to give teeth to the 15th Amendment, prohibiting discrimination based on race, color, or previous enslavement. The VRA's Section 5 requires states with a track record of discrimination to pre-clear their election law with the U.S. Justice Department. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority in Shelby County v. Holder in 2013 began an erosion of those protections by prohibiting the DOJ from enforcing those preclearance requirements. In the ensuing 12 years, power-hungry state legislatures unleashed a torrent of anti-voter bills designed to suppress specific groups, including Black, Hispanic, and Native American voters. A 2021 decision, Brnovich v. DNC, made it harder to argue those bills discriminated by race. In 2024, the conservative majority made it more difficult to prove racial gerrymandering under the VRA Section 2 in Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP. The latest attack, a 2025 Supreme Court case from Louisiana, argues the VRA's provision for majority-minority voting districts is itself discriminatory. More on that tomorrow. I'm Brian Beal.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, is it true that Eddie Gein, he's referring to, was partial to fava beans and Chianti served cold? I cannot, nor do I want to confirm or deny that. And Tyler says, in his sack lunch. I would imagine so. Fictitious character. We can give him whatever we want, right? Tony the Trucker says, Pete, my lunch bag is the biggest igloo cooler made, so it's like a small suitcase. In it, I have 3 bottles of water, a bottle of Cran energy drink, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yogurt, granola, an energy bar, carrot sticks, cheese sticks, an orange, grapes, a banana, and Triscuit crackers. I usually work 10 to 12 hours a day, so this covers lunch and supper. Sounds like a lot, right? Yeah, it sounds like you're preparing for the apocalypse, Tony. That's great. Tony the Trucker. I thought he was our overnight listener. Or is that a different trucker? That's Tony the Tiger. Tony, thank you for the text. That's awesome, dude. What is in your sack lunch, folks? It's National Pack Your Lunch Day. That's the question of the night. Did I get all these, Con? I think I'm caught up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. Right.
People love food questions. We got to have maybe we'll do like a recipe thing.
It's just not the question of the night anymore. It's just food questions.
Just food questions. We'll do that. All right. So very exciting, folks. Tomorrow night on the show from the Overture Center, Tim Sowers will join me. I'll be live from Madison. And then Jeff Blankenship, the director, will join me. And we might have a surprise guest. We'll see what happens. But it'll be another fun night on Nightlight. Right now, we are turning our attention to something I know nothing about. And that's why I'm excited. A guy that works here at WGBW, he's got great accounts, he works his butt off, Peter Van Doren joins me now. He approached me about a couple weeks ago and said, hey, would you ever want to do a fantasy baseball thing? I said, yes, because I don't get it. Pete, I've done fantasy football. I hear that fantasy baseball is much more, you have to really immerse yourself in it.
Well, I think in some ways it is a little more involved, but the way I look at it is that, with fantasy football, you're still, looking at your lineup, you're, scouting the, available players that aren't claimed and already on fantasy teams. You are, checking injury reports, making trade proposals. The difference, essentially, is just with fantasy baseball, you're just checking your lineup more often.
Right.
And if you're playing fantasy football rather intensely, you're probably on that website, several times a day anyway.
Yeah.
Or at least, once a day.
If you're passionate about it. I have to back up because I think there's a lot of people probably that don't really know. Let's start like we're 5 years old.
Yeah.
Tell us what fantasy baseball is.
Sure. So I actually wanted to just, get this presented well. So I researched Wikipedia. Fantasy baseball is a game in which participants serve as owners and general managers of virtual baseball teams. The competitors select their rosters by participating in a draft in which all relevant Major League Baseball players are available. So the fantasy points are awarded based on actual performance of baseball players in real-world competition.
Okay.
And so what that means essentially is that, you know, you are the owner of a fantasy team. You have real players on this team, and you're playing on a server. In this day and age, like, almost every major news sports outlet probably has a fantasy football site to go with it. Yahoo, ESPN,
sure.
CBS Sports. You know, you can play on all those websites.
Okay.
With the game of fantasy baseball, there's essentially two different formats, right? You've got head-to-head, which is very similar to how people play fantasy football.
Meaning the team that you oversee plays against someone else.
Another real-life person. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. And basically, at the end of the week, you win. How baseball is a little bit different is it goes by categories instead of just kind of a cumulative score based on real, NFL players' performance.
Okay.
So that's one style that's, very popular. The other most popular format is rotisserie. And rotisserie fantasy baseball leagues, you're trying to build based on select categories, and you're trying to lead the league in each of those categories. So when you think of like major, stats in baseball, you've got like batting average, home runs, stolen bases.
Okay.
You're trying to, essentially accumulate, more of that than the rest of your opponents in the league. So both of them, and really most of fantasy sports for season long, we talk about the season long, it just involves the regular season. So it's, all 162 games of the baseball season.
That's a commitment.
Yeah. And last year there was 163 because the Mets played that extra game.
All right. Yeah. So when you say there's rotisserie, there's one-on-one. When you're doing rotisserie, are there still one-on-one matchups?
There's no matchups with rotisserie. You're competing against everybody
simultaneously. Is that less... Like, if you were going to participate or join a league, is rotisserie less time-consuming?
I don't know that it's less time-consuming. I think they both take up about the same amount of time.
Okay.
I like the challenge of rotisserie because I think that oftentimes in a head-to-head league, you can be very dominant in some categories.
Okay.
And that'll carry you through. But with rotisserie, it really kind of exposes those weak ends. You have to have a very balanced team.
Okay.
And that's why when we look at fantasy baseball players, oftentimes the more desired hitters are going to be those players that put up, they call it like five categories. And, it's stolen bases, home runs, RBIs, runs, batting average.
Okay.
If you have a very complete player like that, it's easy to put them in your lineup every day. Yeah. You're going to get all those counting stats in your favor.
Do they, in baseball, do they track defense like they do? I know that was kind of an addition.
There is not. No. Okay. No. Often in fantasy football, you play like a defensive team, and it's just kind of how that squad does as a whole in a given game. Baseball, typically, there's no defense involved in it.
Even if a guy wins a gold glove, he's dead to the fantasy baseball world.
Yeah, it's pretty much offense. It's pretty much offensive production and pitching.
Okay. All right. Peter Van Dorn is here, folks. We're talking fantasy baseball. I don't know much about it. I'm trying to learn a little bit about it. I know the basics of fantasy football. And when I joined fantasy football here at Civic Media, I had Rocker saw that I was not taking it seriously. He's one of the Max Inc. radio hosts. And he said, I just want to remind you, you're in the pro league here. We have a smaller league if you'd rather do that. So
I won that league this year. The pro league.
Very well done. I didn't join at all. I know my limitations. We're coming back. Civic Media's award-winning news team is about to tell you what you need to know. And then we'll be back reading your text and talking more with Peter Van Dorn about fantasy baseball. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. So glad you're with me on this Monday night, this gorgeous Monday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. Ukraine launched a huge drone attack on Russia ahead of today's meeting between U.S. and Ukrainian officials in Saudi Arabia. The BBC's Tom Bateman says they'll discuss possible ceasefire terms.
The big concern of the Ukrainians is that that ceasefire so far appears to come without any enforcement mechanism to ensure that the Russians can't simply rearm over the course of a year or so.
European and Asian markets are mixed after Wall Street's sell-off. Market strategist Michael Farr.
If we stay committed to these tariffs and in this direction, yeah, I think markets will continue to go down.
Futures are higher this morning. A federal judge has blocked the deportation of a pro-Palestinian protest leader at Columbia University. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
On its face, the detention of a green card holder in a facility set aside for undocumented immigrants who are facing almost certain deportation seems patently unlawful.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers active in free agency. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers will have a new look to their offensive line. They signed 49ers left guard Aaron Banks to a four-year deal worth $77 million. Elgton Jenkins will move over to center. On defense, the Packers adding another former Raider, cornerback Nate Hobbs, who receives a four-year contract worth $48 million, $16 million guaranteed. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Pacers tonight in Indianapolis. Baseball, Brewers with a 7-5 win over the Mariners. Christian Yelich with a home run says besides William Contreras, the crew still has a solid lineup.
Yeah, I mean, we have some talented players for sure. I think Mitchell has a shot to be a really good player. Terang, Sneaky, Sal, you know, Joey Ortiz. We got some athletic guys that can do a lot of different things on the baseball field. Underrated, overrated. We've had a lot of guys step up and young players come into their own and just find a way. So we'll see if we can do it again this year.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. New releases in theaters this past weekend all seemed to limp to the finish line for different reasons. Acclaimed director Bong Joon-ho's new film, Mickey 17, did finish first at the box office with $19 million, but that was a bit of a disappointment. The film starring Robert Pattinson cost almost $120 million to make and is not expected to recoup. This was the director's first big studio budget after winning a Best Director Oscar for Parasite 5 years ago. The other new releases were Rule Breakers, which got excellent reviews from critics and even better from audiences, but brought in just $1.5 million at the box office on over 2,000 screens. In The Lost Lands, starring Mila Jovovich and David Bautista, stunk up theaters with barely over $1 million at the gate and terrible reviews. Captain America managed to hang on to the number two slot, followed by Last Breath, The Monkey, and Paddington in Peru, which finished in fifth place. Tough week. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be quite a bit colder today, mostly sunny with a high of only 45 this afternoon. Wind will be north at 5 to 15. 27 tonight, tomorrow sunshine. We bounce back to 53 by Thursday. Partly cloudy, 60 by Friday. We're talking highs in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Every time I think.
think of you, I feel shot right through a loop of our cool. It's no problem of mine, but it's a problem I find living a life.
All right, I know it's a nice day out, folks. But we're making it even better. We're talking sack lunches and acting and fantasy baseball. And Bridget checks in from the 818 on the text line. She says, my mom packed a PBJ sandwich with butter. Oh, that's a Wisconsin thing. Butter on peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, so it's...
Or on a ham sandwich.
PB&B&J?
PB&J&B. Just to complicate things. She thought it was a treat. I didn't particularly like the butter, but I thought that was how they were made. Oh, man, Bridget's mom totally steered her wrong, unintentionally, I'm sure. But no, that's the thing in Wisconsin, too, ham sandwiches. I go to my wife's family reunions in New London, and they had ham sandwiches. They were serving ham sandwiches with butter and mayo. And I thought the guy was joking when he said, I go, oh, what's on this? Butter and mayo. And I kind of went, and there was nothing from the guy. He's like, I'm like, oh, okay. I don't think I could eat that. I don't think I could muscle that down if you paid me. And then we got some comments on the stream. This is Rondo Huckbody. Rondo, if that's not made up, I apologize. It sounds made up, and I love it either way. He says, knock it out of the park, Pete. Is that you?
Yeah.
There's two Petes here.
That's a friend of mine.
That's a friend. Is that his real name?
Yeah. Well,
come on.
Aaron. It's Aaron.
Aaron. Yeah. All right. Well, that's okay. Oh, what happened? We got something going on here with the stream. So is he in fantasy baseball with you?
He is not. No, okay. No. I know from like way back in the day, we used to take out P-buys together. Where?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. And Rondo says, who are the key players on your pro league team? First, let's get to that in a second. Pete, what is in your sack lunch?
Sure. What's in my sack lunch?
Your sack lunch. You're putting your lunch together at home.
Well, yeah. So, like, I cut up some venison sausage, like, the other day. Some venison summer sausage. Wow. Yeah, I've been eating a lot of that this week.
It's okay. Good. I can tell by your rosy glow you've been eating a lot of venison sausage.
Yeah, yeah.
Peter Van Doren, ladies and gentlemen, joining me in the studio tonight. He's part of the team here at WGBW. Does great work. Sales, and you've got your accounts are crushing, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. I'm in sales. I work, kind of between here as well as WISS, which is, our Appleton and Oshkosh station. Appleton and Oshkosh are official affiliates of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I was going to ask you about that, so why don't you elaborate on that?
Definitely
for sure
want to give a shout out to that. Yeah. So we've got all the games, all 162, plus right now we've got spring training going on.
Wow.
We are going to have the playoffs, I think, right up through the World Series. I mean, potentially, hopefully the Brewers make it. We'll see what happens with them, But we are looking for business sponsors for that, too. So if you are a business owner or you do marketing for a company, definitely reach out to us. You can give us a call here in the studio. Conrad will pick up, take your information, and we'll totally get you set up as an in-game sponsor of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm just going to tell you, folks, here's what a great closer Pete is when it comes to sales. He got me to buy advertising on my own show. So it's Night Late with Pete Schwab, sponsored by Night Late Pete. I'm out 10 grand somehow. And it was like, I was totally hoodwinked and I just went with it. So the guy knows his stuff. But all right, now we'll go back to, I'm sorry. Your sack lunch is
Venison sauce. Venison summer sausage. Yeah. Well, I pack an apple, you maybe like a bag of Doritos.
Any dipping sauce for the venison?
Not too much. Like usually like a ranch, like a spicy mustard. It's pretty good.
What would make you a real man is if you brought venison sausage and dipped it in the actual blood of the animal.
That would be pretty wicked. Yeah. Wow.
You'd have a serious glow working then. Peter Van Doren, we're talking fantasy baseball. Your friend Rondo Huckbody, real name, right?
Yeah,
I think he clarified
sort of,
that.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Real nickname.
Real nickname.
He says, who were key players on your pro league team? So we're talking fantasy baseball. Before we get to Rondo's question, it works a lot like fantasy football. There's just a lot more to keep up on, right?
Yeah, there's definitely more to keep up on because there's more players.
Yeah.
But another aspect of it that I do really enjoy with fantasy baseball is that because there are more players, typically the rosters are bigger, you have a little bit bigger selection of players. So you may not need to have kind of that record-breaking player on your team. Like, you don't have to have like a Peyton Manning setting the single season touchdown mark or Calvin Johnson, catching the most passes of all time. And, in fantasy baseball, I mean, sure, having like a Sohei Ohtani is like a huge asset. I mean, the guy put up like 50 home runs, 59 steals last year. But, you know, but at the same time, because the rosters are bigger, it maybe is not like as much of a single deciding factor by having like that it player in the middle of a record-breaking season in fantasy baseball.
Okay. And so, I assume it's like football where the top guys, the guys with the best stats are the best, are the first to go in a draft. Does the draft take forever compared to a fantasy football draft?
Kind of depends on the timer. I mean, I suppose probably about 2 hours maybe in like an average 10 or 12 team league. Oh, it's about the same.
Okay. All right. So like I said, for those who don't play, your friend Rondo's question, who are the key players on your pro league team? Who did you draft, Pete, that you're excited about?
Well, let's see. So I compete in a couple cash leagues every year. And one of them I do is actually a keeper league, which allows you to keep three players every season.
Okay.
And we've been doing the keeper league for several years now. This season I'm playing keeping Gunnar Henderson from the Orioles, shortstop. I have Corbin Carroll from the Diamondbacks, an outfielder, as well as Kyle Tucker, who recently got traded to the Cubs last season.
Okay.
So
does this mean anything to you, Conrad? You know, can you vouch that these are good players?
I can vouch that they're good keepers.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you play fantasy baseball?
Well, I know I did draft a team this year, but I drafted Gerrit Cole, so that just sucks there.
Ooh, yeah, it's kind of a tough break there. Yeah,
he mentioned that. That's how much does it cost to play fantasy baseball? Like compared to football, the same.
It's however much you want. Yeah, you know, like the keeper league I'm in is the Vladimir Guerrero Invitational. I want to give a shout out to those guys. Cock Sammies is one of the team
Watch
names.
Watch your language.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Cock Sammies.
One more time.
Cock Sammies. That's his team name. I'm not going to tell you about the picture he has on his profile.
That's his team name?
That's his team name, yeah.
Do you want to know my brother? I'll just tell the story quick. He had the Twitter handle at UW Badgers. he got, when Twitter first came out, my brother Andrew had at UW Badgers. So obviously Wisconsin wanted that for their own Twitter account. Yeah. And they said, well, if you don't give it to us, we're going to sue you. And he said, well, I'm a lawyer. Bring it on. And, you know, at the end of the day, he graduated from there. It's his place. He loves it. He says, look, I'll give it to you. Let's not whatever. And they said, oh, great. Well, what can we do for you? And he goes, I'll tell you what. Like, instead of asking for season tickets, he asked for a signed football from Barry Alvarez and a signed basketball from Bo Ryan. And they said, yeah, we can make that happen. So he takes a picture of the two balls. And his fantasy football team name that year was Special Balls.
Oh, gosh.
And his son saw it, his 11-year-old son. He goes, Dad, can't do that. I mean, you know what that means, right? He's like, he had to play dumb because he didn't want his kid to. But, yeah, those risque names are all over fantasy sports,
oh,
right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's a
very immature.
It's a very lowbrow humor at times, yeah. <it's...
laughs> Peter Van Dorn is here. He is part of the WGBW team here. He does great work regarding sales, and he was just pitching how Civic Media got the Brewers on WYSS.
Yeah. Email me. I'll tell you more.
Yeah.
Peter at civicmedia.us.
Very simple. How did you get started in fantasy baseball, and when? Was it already kind of in the throes of its popularity, or were you an early entry?
I would say it was in the throes of its popularity. I mean, bear in mind, the sport like precedes the internet. That's how long it's been around.
I want to talk about that, too.
I actually did some research on this.
That surprised me.
The sport of fantasy baseball, apparently back in like 1980, a bunch of like writers assembled at a cafe, Rotisserie Francaise was the name of the cafe, and that's why
Sounds
it became
rotisserie
baseball. Yeah, no, okay. It's crazy, but who knows? You know, sometimes the origins are very obscure. Like, I know John Madden took credit for starting fantasy football.
Is that not true?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I watched some kind of NFL pregame, and he talked all about it. Yeah.
John Madden also took credit for writing all the code for Madden the video game. So you know he's kind of full. Great guy, but come on, let's be honest.
Right,
All right, so you started, what year was that about?
Oh, so probably, I started probably around like early 2000. Like, yeah, about 2000.
So how did that work before the internet? How on earth did fantasy baseball, or football for that matter, happen?
People were like literally just, you know, reading their daily newspaper, checking box scores. You know, they were drafting in person or over the phone. You know, all the scoring was basically just done.
You just kept
manually.
It yourself.
You know how I talked about how like each earlier I talked about how each category is like scoring categories where you're trying to get the most home runs in the league over the course of the season. Well, for that, I mean, people had to just keep track of it manually. You know?
Trust that everybody else in their league. Well, yeah. It's hard to lie about that stuff, I'm sure. Stats are stats.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's just evolved so much, especially when it comes to like daily lineups where you can just, you know, kind of assemble the perfect team for just a day and see how they perform.
Yeah.
A lot of people do like legal betting on that now. So it's real
crazy
too. Yeah.
You can bet on fantasy baseball.
Yeah.
Pete Rose bet on actual baseball.
Right.
And paid the price for it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Wow.
I have mixed feelings with him too. That's a whole other topic.
He seems like kind of a jerk, but you can't deny what a phenomenal player he was.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Well, he definitely was. But for me, like, I think it was the new commissioner came in and he met with Pete Rose, you know, kind of Pete Rose made one last plea to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he kind of was turned down because of his actions. Like, they said that Pete Rose hadn't changed his lifestyle at all. He was still, you know, very much a compulsive gambler, still in Vegas all the time. And just,
right.
You know, it was just kind of that he hadn't really shown any, I guess, remorse with what he'd done.
And that's like, I don't have much knowledge, but I feel like if he didn't bet on his team, even if he bet on baseball, that might be, with time, you can forgive that. But if he bet on his own team and affected the outcomes of the game, I have no problem with him not being in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Am I way off there? Or is that
I think it's, okay. I think it's definitely, you know, in line. Yeah. That's
all right. So your friend Rondo Huckbody says, I just love saying that. Did you draft any Packers? Wait a minute.
You know, well, I mean, Packers be football, right? Yeah. But the thing with any fantasy sport, I think, is that you really, don't want to hold a grudge against anybody. I mean, for instance, you know, I mentioned I have Kyle Tucker on my fantasy baseball team. He's a Cub.
Right.
Well, you know, you really want to be open-minded and not just limit yourself to your favorite team or your favorite players. So, unfortunately, you know, oftentimes when we do play in these leagues in Wisconsin like we're in, you know, you find that people are paying up a little bit more for, you know, players in the Packers, the Brewers. So I'm trying to think if I drafted any Packers. I think I had Jordan Love in like one league.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of mixed results.
Yeah.
I mean, had like an okay, not like stellar season. Yeah.
That probably didn't help things.
Yeah, it didn't help too much.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer fantasy baseball over fantasy football?
I do, yeah. I like the challenge of it. You know,
yeah.
I like drafting. I like just being able to like go after players. It takes a lot of patience, you know.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, baseball is fairly inconsistent at times, you know. And also there are a lot of stretches that go along with it. You know, that's how you kind of look at it with fantasy football, is that every Sunday is just like wham, here's all these results, whereas baseball's a little more drawn out.
Yeah, that's interesting. So do you think you can keep up with this, Conrad?
Yeah.
Okay. Every day you got to update, right? I mean, it's like,
yeah, every day you got to update, you know. I follow some fantasy baseball podcasts. You know, I also like CBS Sports, one of my favorites. For football, though, I listen to like lots of NBC Sports, lots of ESPN. Matthew Berry is a great fantasy columnist for fantasy football.
I have to be honest, all I can think about right now is you wolfing down venison sausage and listening to podcasts.
This is just what I do. Yeah. I like check my lineup while I'm doing that. You know, it's
Peter Van Doren is here. We're talking fantasy baseball. So, all right. So how are you doing so far? Or how did you do last year, I should say?
Well, let's start with that.
Let's do a quick break. We'll come back. I want to find out just how good you are at fantasy baseball. We'll do that. I'm going to ask Peter what he's watching on TV and movies, so be ready for that. No fantasy there, buddy. It's the real thing. Fiction. We're going to come right back and close this thing up with our pal, Peter Van Doren. He's very tall. Can you dunk?
No, not quite.
No? All right.
I can take credit for dunking.
We'll talk about that. We're coming right back. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Beautiful day here in Wisconsin. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the legacy of Val Phillips, the trailblazing civil rights leader, is also the first African-American woman elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Phillips was born in Milwaukee, and though she faced both racial and gender barriers, she remained strong in her fight for equality. She helped pass groundbreaking laws to desegregate public housing while also fighting for voting rights. Her courage and determination wasn't just for Wisconsin, but for the nation. And Phillips' legacy continues to inspire those who believe in justice, showing that one voice can spark change. These are the stories continuing to inspire all of us every day. And as we honor them, we will also recognize the powerful women who are still writing history. I'm Terry Barr.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, which will be fun. We'll have our old pal, Tim Sowers. He is going to literally walk across the street from the Overture Center and join me in the studio, and we'll talk about some fun shows coming up, the Overture, and then director Jeff Blankenship joins me tomorrow, possibly in studio as well in Madison. And we might even have a surprise guest. Lots of fun every time we're in Madison. And then Wednesday night, I'll just take this opportunity to plug, there's a political event, and then we're doing a shortened show. It's just an hour, but it's going to be all Big Lebowski talk. We're going to celebrate the Day of the Dude and do a Lebowski quiz. It's going to be great fun. So join me Wednesday night as well, although that will not be live. And a great guest the rest of the week, too. Mary Mack joins me on Thursday to make the popcorn pick of the week. And Appleton-based comedian Rob Brackenridge will be here in studio. Rob's always a blast. And Bar Band Friday night coming up. All kinds of fun stuff headed your way on Nightlight. Peter Van Doren is my guest here. We're talking about fantasy baseball, and he is a big enthusiast and a big guy. What are you, 6'4"?
About 6'3".
You think you could beat Conrad in an arm wrestle?
We should try that after the show.
Yeah. What if Pete's arm was like a foot longer than yours?
It probably is. I have short arms.
Can we make like a fundraiser out of this?
Oh, that would be fun.
Good. Yeah.
Get in on that. Take a place of bet or two. Have you ever seen, I watch reels sometimes at night when I'm bored, like on Instagram.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
clip, I don't know if you guys saw this, of Lenny Randle, a pitcher. This is like in the 70s. I remember him as a player. A pitcher threw at Lenny Randle. It didn't hit him because he was still up. So he went down, just missed his head. Lenny Randle on the next pitch lays down a bunt to the first base side. The pitcher goes after the bunt. Lenny Randle goes out of the baseline and just drills him as payback. That was baseball in the 70s, like when it was just, I mean, it was insane. And obviously both benches erupted and I'm sure they got kicked out, but it's a great clip.
You know, and the sport has just changed so much too over time. It's, you know, really interesting just even, and it actually has an effect on fantasy sports, right?
Like, right.
Well, we had several years ago, there's often scarcity in fantasy sports with certain positions. And a few years back, I guess it was, you know, mainly like middle infielders that were kind of a little bit, of a commodity. I mean, just that there weren't a lot of really like top end players, kind of in uneven distribution, know, of players that were going to give you like quality stats and be startable week in or day in, day out. And, you know, with that being said, it's actually shifted, you know, for any number of reasons. Rules, I mean, different equipment, you know, bigger base paths, you know. So whereas before, you know, like steals were kind of a commodity, now steals are everywhere. I mean,
yeah.
There's like, I don't know how many.
That was
players.
Always my favorite baseball. I love teams that used to steal.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
You know, kind of play aggressively like that. Mm-hmm. Pete, have you ever won? Not ever, but where do you rank, like, on all the years you've played, how often do you bring home money?
I was actually just looking this up. I would say probably with fantasy sports, I play enough leagues annually that if I break even, that's kind of my goal. You know, just, I mean,
that's not
it's
why
fun,
you're doing it to get rich,
still,
right?
You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you know, that's so, you know, typically if I break even, but, you know, looking at, like, my profile on Yahoo, which is a server I play a lot of my fantasy sports on, I'm actually gold level, I guess. So
sweet.
Since 2001, I've played in over 700 fantasy leagues between football
gold level,
and baseball. Yeah, like a 60% winning percentage.
Dude, it's too bad you're married. You would get so many chicks with that information, right? Is it a good place? Is that a good place to meet girls playing fantasy sports?
It's social. It's just not quite
it's great.
That kind of social.
No, and
you know?
I, you know, the years I've played fantasy football and I've actually tried, it is really fun. Sometimes though, when you're busy, that's like the first thing you kick loose, you know, it's like a side hobby. But yeah. How do you like your chances this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be a good season. I think that there's a lot of players that are fairly straightforward to assess. One thing that gets kind of thrown around every now and then with fantasy sports are these boom or bust type players where they give either make or break you. Hmm. And I don't know that there's quite as many of those being drafted early this season in fantasy baseball as there have in years past. One example of a player that's boom or bust, Jacob DeGrom. I mean, if you're familiar with the pitcher, just signed with the
crazy
Rangers.
Hair, right?
Yeah, he spent all those years with the Mets.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's been injured so often, you know. I think it's been two or three seasons since he put together a complete season, but he's been like just, you know, lights out when he's been on the mound. But it's just like, is this guy going to stay healthy? So for that reason, if you're drafting him early this year, he's going to be real boom or bust. Like, he's going to like make it or break it for you.
This has been fun. I got to read a text comment, and if I have time, I'm going to ask you one more question. So Craig Knitt checks in on the stream and says, Pete, I thought Mickey 17 was fun. I didn't realize he was Robert Pattinson until the credits rolled. Wow. He said, I found it odd that there was only one species on that planet. Not the greatest thing I've ever seen, but I enjoyed it. Cool concept. I agree it was a cool concept, Craig, and I didn't hate it. It was 2 hours on a Saturday afternoon sitting in a movie theater with my wife. What could be better, right?
Cool.
Pete, you love your wife, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
She a keeper.
And my kid. Yeah, like a 6-year-old. Keeps me busy.
All right. We have about, Conrad, how much time do we have? Like a minute?
Yeah.
Less. Rondo says, hey, Pete, what do you think? What do you look forward to in the future of fantasy baseball? You got 30 seconds. Answer your buddy's question.
What,
that's great.
What do I look forward to the future of fantasy baseball? I would say just the longevity of it. I mean, that's what makes baseball great. That's what I love about
MLB. It's not going anywhere.
Is just that you, yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's a rich history. I think that's just going to keep continuing.
Pete, keep up the great work. You do great stuff here at WGBW.
Thanks, man.
It's great to know you, and thank you for pitching this segment. I love it, and it's fun to get to know you more and learn more about fantasy baseball.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for having me.
Anytime, bud. I'd like to thank all my guests, Peter Van Doren, Dan Davies, who is here in person. Thank you for all your texts and calls. Always fun here on Nightly. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show joining us at 10:33 to kick around all the Wisconsin news. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks to local businesses Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, you can join us 5 to 6 with your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. Covering local sports like no one else.
Clearing it out, and it is almost caught.
We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players and coaches, and you. 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers.
Get out of here!
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Two people were killed when Ukraine launched a big drone attack on 10 regions of Russia. The Russian military says it shot down 337 drones. Talks between Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Ukrainian officials have begun in Saudi Arabia. One Ukrainian official started it off by saying Ukraine wants peace. More from CBS's Holly Williams in Kyiv.
Zelensky stressed over the weekend that his country has always wanted peace. They never wanted the invasion in the first place. But going forward, Ukraine doesn't want to be pressured into a ceasefire deal that rewards Vladimir Putin with territory and then allows him to invade all over again in a few years' time, because that has happened before. And to stop it happening again, Ukraine wants security guarantees, including from the U.S.
Stock futures are higher, suggesting Wall Street may stop the bleeding after yesterday's sell-off. Economist Larry Glaser.
There's an old